A weak Solidarity Brekkie team listener when this morning will join the mainstream media in delivering blanket coverage of the greatest event most of us will live through, the coronation of our head of state, King Big Ears. But first, a couple of very mundane and prosaic items by comparison. Interesting that the way the use of a word can change its meaning to its very opposite. Mundane, literally worldly, but now expressing the opposite. Just thought I'd throw that in, because there's nothing mundane about King Big Ears, unlike the week that was. But let's give ourselves a pat on the back, because last week we were spot on. Our prediction that after the wall-to-wall coverage of Trained Killer Celebration Day would come wall-to-wall non-coverage of May Day, unless there was violence somewhere between workers and the police, and right on cue, the only coverage, how violent workers attacked the poor, gentle constabulary in France. Well, there were truly important, much more important matters to cover, like a publicly funded Tasmanian footy team, and of course the ubiquitous Fashion Week, or whatever is this week's truly vital fashion event, always featuring the in-depth interview with a model who tells us how much she just loves the event and the colour and the social elite in the front row and the exciting fashion label. And the Reserve Bank stuck it up working families with a mortgage again. And the banks accommodated the sticking it up by sticking it up for mortgagees, but not sticking it up for depositors, because that seems to be much more difficult to calculate. And the Witch Bank, which used to be our bank, announced record profits and celebrated with its lazy avaricious workers by announcing it was sadly having to let go 230 of them. What thanks? God, imagine if they hadn't made a huge profit. Many sadly let go workers in anti-scam and fraud teams, whom they obviously don't need because the finance Her Most Gracious Majesty's Royal Con Mission showed the Witch Bank, which used to be, well, all our highly respected and respectable banks, know all about scams and frauds. And the danger with a scams and frauds workforce is one might get a conscience and become a whistleblower. And the Northern True Blue Aussie Socialists approved fracking in the Beetaloo Basin, flushing the environment down ALU, not needing a referendum to ignore the voice of the local Indigenous people who obviously oppose progress and throw up irrelevant arguments like it will destroy their country. And environmental groups complained, but they would, wouldn't they? Arguing that fracking will release at least 22 million tonnes a year of emissions, Scope 1, not counting Scope 2 and 3 contributions. But apart from these naysayers, the really exciting news was that the share prices of Santos, the profits and other great resource companies doing this for the good of all of us soared. Shareholders dancing in the streets. Better than dancing where they might fall down a fracking hole. And the Northern True Blue Aussie Socialist Supremo Natasha files the objections, said direct quote, "Now is the time for the Northern Territory to provide the energy that the world needs to transmission to renewable energies." Let's repeat that because we can't satirise it. Now is the time for the Northern Territory to provide the energy that the world needs to transition to renewable energy. Huh? And one resource supremo, also direct quote, said, "The Beetaloo will play an important role in providing the Northern Territory, True Blue Aussie, and the Asian region energy security for decades," indicating the transition could take a little while at 22 million tonnes a year. And a McDonald's salt, sugar and fat franchise in South True Blue Aussie admitted it had conducted an unlawful five-year campaign to de-unionise its workforce, barring union members from promotion and threatening to cut permanent workers' hours unless they shifted to casual employment. One worker admitting she resigned from the union after ruthless threats, her quote, ruthless threats, but then had her hours slashed anyway because she raised a safety issue. Fair enough, she clearly threatened the safety of shareholders' dividends. After all, if every worker raised every safety issue, what would that do for productivity? And it's not like caring employers like McDonald's, salt, sugar and fat don't care about safety. Well, apart from the safety of the customers devouring the salt, sugar and fat. And a week earlier, Big Supremo Anthony Albanese attended a men's only birthday bash for one of Trubler Wozzy's filthiest rich of the filthy rich, Lindsay Foxy, a beneficiary of much government largesse. Socialising with the filthiest rich of, and no doubt explaining to them the error of their way. Oh, and he told us the government can't afford to assist the poorest of the poor. After all, we have to find that 38 mil a day for 30 years to protect us with nuclear train killer thingies. Although a report this week said that may be 50% under the real figure, 57 mil a day. So how can we possibly afford to assist the poorest of? And then Anthony attended the wedding of an extreme right, nasty, nasty shock jock. No doubt alerting the acolytes of the filthiest rich, the wannabes, of the error of their ways, while telling us the government can't afford to assist the poorest of. And then Anthony dropped into Brisbane to wish workers a happy May Day, a true socialist, while telling them the government can't afford to assist the poorest of. We've got that 38 mil a day, but maybe we can help the poorest of by turning them into cannon fodder. Dropped in on his way to the big event in London to swear allegiance to big ears. Amid the massive, filthiest rich of opulence on display, reminding us the government can't possibly afford to assist the poorest of. But what a comforting thought for the poorest of. Long to reign over us. Doesn't that give us a feeling of security, knowing big ears in London will long reign over us? God save the king, because with big ears and God, what could go wrong? And Anthony visited a shipyard where they build the nuclear thingies and told us they would provide thousands of jobs and transform the true blue Aussie economy like the car industry, which some spoilsport train killer economist said was crap, although not sure we needed to be told that. And we asked Anthony if he had considered building things that don't kill people, and he told us that was silly and threatened Trubler Wozzy's security. And reports this week the architect of the Fawkes grovelling deal, former Big Supremo Scummo, was about to get a job in now His Most Gracious Majesty's home country's nuclear subs industry, joining a queue of those serving the merchants of death who have been rewarded by the merchants of death. And as the commemorations of injured and murdered workers received equal coverage with May Day, the state socialist government got into the spirit of the solemn occasion by preparing to announce it would exclude workplace problems like stress, overwork, anxiety from work cover, because it needs to save money so it can remove level crossings and make cars go faster and find lots of money for non-public housing. And that 15% wage rise for aged care workers will boost the public spending on aged care to about $30 billion. But at least, we chatted with big economic guru Jim Chalmers Capital, it will be publicly controlled, publicly owned. No, that's not right, Jim corrected us. It will continue to be run by the private sector. Oh, then why is the public purse picking up their wages bill? Efficiency. The private sector can't afford to pay workers and contribute the important service it provides. Then why is it involved? Well, profit, silly. Profit, but you said they can't even afford to pay their workers. Well, you can't have both. It's one or the other, and they've chosen the other, or the one, whichever. Right. And don't forget the $30 billion also includes the cost of raising standards as recommended by the Aged Care Inquiry. Hang on, the government is paying to raise standards for the private owners. Obviously, the private sector can't afford wages and raising the standards and making a profit. So it chose one of the three. Yeah, now you've got it. Thanks, Jim. That's obviously the free bit of free enterprise. But poor aged care, caring employers, although if they're not actually paying the wages, are they the caring employer? But never mind. The poor caring employers do have one big worry despite all this public largesse. See, moves to restrict the number of hours student visa holders can work will limit the aged care caring employers giving them a job out of the goodness of their dear warm hearts. Even though the Spencer Street Falfax, no longer Falfax, reported this week, student visa holders are heavily relied upon to fill low-paid care roles. What a slur. As if the sector would use public funds to exploit workers, or more correctly, as few of them public funds, that is, as possible. And so they are lobbying the government to give them a break and retain their pool of labour they so care about. Restricting the hours they can exploit provide them with work would devastate aged care, they said. The government's just not doing enough for them. It would be silly, of course, for the government to run the sector itself. Gross inefficiency. No, just pay for it. But hang on, that's enough of the mundane and prosaic. Now, finally, our blanket coverage of the great event. Our head of state... Sorry, what's that, Annie? Time's up. But I've got... Sorry, listener, blame Annie. But don't forget, we all have to chorus our allegiance too. Good morning.